reconvene as the Board of Commissioners and get back on our budget then.
Mr. Hayden, Mr. Chairman.
You ready? Commissioners, thank you. My name's Dean Hamer. I'm the Community Development Director. I run the Building Department, Planning Department, Business License Department, Economic with our Team Story County on other departments and working with the GIS with Jana and IT. Austin this year will be becoming a department head for the Planning Department directly with his new responsibilities in the HR department. I still work with his staff. They will be housed in my building, in our building. Let me go back into the water department's building that we rent. My budget that I am requesting for the year 2013-2014 is $406,593. You got my explanation. Majority of my budget is the necessary salary increases and, unfortunately, benefits that none of us like to see increased with the health insurance and things like that. I basically then, Pat, under general fund or under another department, paid for the postage and the postage machine, and so we had to add a couple of new line items in my budget, postage being one of those, the big ones, $1,600. I am probably about the only one left now, besides a few other, that rent my office space, and we split pretty much 50-50% down the line with Planning Department budget, because the building is owned by the water company. And so originally, when I was moved in there, when they decided that I needed to pay rent, the agreement that the county commissioners had with the budget with me is that our rents would be used to increase, to remodel that office. We have over years remodeled. It does need the finest paint. I got a lot of free material. Actually, my heat ducting system is from the Angelo Petrini when he remodeled this, and so we put a lot of those kind of remodel things in. Mike, running the water department, that money gets transferred over there, and then some of the rents and leases that we have to pay for our copying machines. I do have a satellite office down in the tri-building that I work out of. Under this budget, there is actually three of us, Shannon Gardner, the one building inspector we have, and Stacy Buccaneri, which is our administrative assistant, and myself. As you know, I do all aspects of everything, hands-on. I do plan checking for most of all the major buildings down in Tri. I do the inspections. Because I am salary employee, I try to do all the inspections that would require overtime. Most of these big buildings that you see out there, they have to pour the concrete from midnight to 8 a.m. in the morning. I'm out there almost all the time while they're pouring those concrete. Lance knows that I'm out there. I'm probably out there minimum or pretty much four times a week now. We're trying to cut our cost on fuel. And so it's actually 7 miles shorter for me to go from my home to the industrial park than to come around this other way. And so I try to either go out there first thing in the morning or go out there at the end of the day so then I can travel home. Most of that time I travel home after work hours on my own time. The only major thing to bring to your attention is some capital outlay. I've requested $2,500. James, when we did a update on our computers, there's a program that a couple of the computers need that are $500 a pop for software, and Shannon's laptop that he uses out in the field that we document the inspections and everything is 6 years old. So instead of paying $500 for each computer that I needed three in total, which is $1,500, I'm asking for $2,500 to replace one laptop and do a soft grade upgrade for Stacy's computer. So basically, I reduced most of my operation. Hopefully, fuel doesn't go up. I do see that we're going to be out in the industrial park. What people don't understand is When I work with these companies, as the one I reported this morning, I started with that gentleman over 4 years ago. I brought in Randa, one of the major companies down there. He called me a year ago and said, "Dean, I'd like to work with you and bring Chicago clients out to the industrial park." So a year ago, I've been working with this Mark Siegel, and as I reported this morning, they closed escrow, and they're going to build a 524,000 square foot facility. So with that, to get those facilities up on a lot of the fast tracks, as I said, the Mars, we need to have them in 53 days, and they have about 4 months worth of work. And so it takes 2, 3, sometimes 5 or 6 inspections a day working with these companies when we walk what we call walking a building. We actually are walking foundations, walking slabs, walking tilled up, and we're just working down the line. So we're constantly out there doing inspections. And that's the rapport I have with the company owners, the companies that come, and the contractors. So we don't work 8 to 5. We work when they are working, when they need to pour, when they need to go, on Saturdays. Numerous, I'm out there on Saturdays, working when we have major electrical trade changeovers, and so I'm out there. So with that, you have my budget in front of you. You have my synopsis that I gave you on the line item things. Pretty much the same as last year. A little bit of an increase, I think a 5.43, which is basically majority of it is because of the salaries and benefits and health insurance, the $750 increase on with capital outlay for operations of my departments. I did put in the budget, and Pat and both you jumped on me and beat on me. My car is a 2005, it's 150,000 miles. I agree, we'll get another year or two out of that until it dies. I will pay for some tires out of this year's budget to flip over and put on the tires that'll be wore out at the beginning of the new budget. And then I did put one budget item in there for tires for Shannon's pickup. We are going to flip over Shannon's pickup. His has 100,000, and we have one other pickup, and then we're going to share that. A lot of times I share those pickups, I think, with Mike and James and things like that. Any questions?
Good. Well, good. Very well outlined budget, Dean. And
thank you.
I appreciate your updates that you send us so we know what's going on in the trial, everywhere else in the county.
We are busy.
And I might add, commissioners, you know, beyond items that you see in the budget, there are frequently things that aren't. For instance, essentially now Dean's office really operates on 3 FTE between himself, Stacy, and Shannon. And yet Shannon serves as chairman of a vital committee, our safety committee, that's not only required by statute, but pertinent to make sure we're providing a safe workplace environment and also a safe citizen place for our environment in all of our facilities. So, you know, that I think epitomizes Dean's comment about team story and wearing multiple hats.
Yes, and Pat is correct. We work together on things when different departments, like moving the sheriff's office down to Lockwood, we pick that up and ran with it. Most of the grants on construction here, we pick up and work with those, getting those projects permitted and inspected, and work with Sherry and the different departments with those. And then all the different things you guys assign us and Pat assigns me. Thank you. Okay.
Yes. Mr. Attorney. Mr. Maddox.
I really don't know how much I need to say. I put everything I had to say about this budget in the narrative that I provided and the budget breakdown. Two corrections would be, I don't need anything for capital outlay after I went back, after I met with you and looked at that, and I was trying to figure out what it was. I'm still not sure I know what it ever was, but if I don't even know what it is, I don't probably don't need it. So you can take $2,000 out of there. I do need a training budget. I don't know how that got zeroed out. I'm going to ask for $1,250 there. I do all my training. I attend a government lawyers conference every year. I think it costs me $150, and then I attend a DA's association meeting. Ever since I've been a DA, the government lawyers one has been at Lake Tahoe, so the only fee I have is the $150. And last year I got to go to beautiful Pahrump for the DA's Association conference, and I think they're going to have it in Southern Nevada again this year. But I also want to have some money for training my administrative assistants, my paralegals. I'm going to start trying to send them. I think I'm going to try to get Deborah maybe into the NALS at Nevada Association of Legal Secretaries, and I know they provide some training. So I'd like about $1,250 for training for my office. Basically, as you probably all will know, not so much from last year, but this year I'm probably only going to spend about $350,000, which would be about $100,000 under what my requested budget was for last year. That savings came about because I had Don Pullman retired pretty much right away into this budget year, and I haven't really replaced her yet. And then Eileen Harrington won the position as Justice of the Peace, and I have replaced her. So right now it's full-time staff other than Tim Treffinger being a temporary employee until June 30th, it's just me and Deborah Burns. What I hope for next year is in July I'll hire a part-time secretary that won't get benefits. That'll probably cost about $30,000 a year. And then beginning in January I'll have a deputy district attorney for just half the year. And on an ongoing basis, what I'm going to recommend to whoever succeeds me, because I only have about 640 days left in my term, and as you all know, I'm not going to run again. You've used about as much of me as you're going to get by the time I leave. And so I'd recommend to the next DA. I think when I started, the budget was for two attorneys and two administrative assistants, paralegals. I think we can get it down to the DA plus a half-time attorney, part-time attorney without benefits, and then a secretary, an administrative assistant, paralegal with a half-time. So I'll reduce it by the end from two and two to one and a half and one and a half, and the halves won't be getting benefits, which will be a savings. The reason I'm going to be under $100,000 on my budget this year is because the two administrative assistants, paralegals, both were real senior, and they'd gone all the way up to the top of their steps. And so now, with the people that I'll be hiring, they'll be down at the bottom, and it'll be about $100,000 difference in salary. So when I started, I think, well, a year before I started, the DA's budget was $531,000. And I'll be asking for $440,000. The other thing of significance in this budget is I put another $60,000 into professional services because I want to continue to use Bob Morris to rewrite our county ordinances. And if you decided you didn't want that, you could probably cut $40,000 out of that budget. But And the truth is I can't get Bob to work as much as I'd like him to because he's retired, but he's only costing us $75 an hour, which is a pretty good rate to be paying an attorney that's been an attorney for 25, 30 years and has as much experience as he does in terms of county government. He was the deputy DA down there in Douglas County for 20-some-odd years, and most of that he was the civil attorney. So he's written most of the ordinances for Douglas County, and if I can get him to give me more hours, I'd like to, as much as I can before I leave, get our county ordinances all updated. From some of them were written back in the late 50s, early 60s. So that's my long-term goal before I leave, hopefully, is to And if I don't get it done by the time I leave, I might just come back and do it for free myself, so. That's not a promise, that's just something I'm thinking about. But that's my budget. Any questions?
I'd like to make a quick comment, Attorney Maddox, if I may. I thank you so much for.
One thing, Lance, before I go.
Yes, sir.
Before we move on, we need to provide in somebody's budget for a law library, and I think that should probably cost about $5,000. My proposal would be, and somebody was saying Sean Griffin might address that too, because it would probably be in his building, and I haven't talked to him yet about it. But we need to acquire some books, plus we need to have a computer terminal available where a lot of the stuff that's electronically provided, they can get electronically. So we need to provide for that, and haven't really, since we got rid of the regular library, because we had a law library there. So we're going to have to either put it in Vanessa's budget, maybe under the district court, because or if Sean's going to be asking for some money, I estimate that it would cost about $5,000, and that would be a computer with internet access, and then the books that we need to buy. I'm going to spend some money this year out of my budget for books, but I would estimate about $5,000 to maintain a law library, wherever we maintain it. We're supposed to have them. So.
So I use this as an example, if I may. What I'm looking at up here, and primarily I'm thanking you, but talking to a lot of the folks that are here with the various departments, there's a line item budget here, and then there's a narrative that addresses each one of the line items. And it's well-crafted and understandable. It's something that I can take very quickly and understand where Mr. Maddox is going. And one of the things we did differently this year, and I'm repeating myself a little bit, but there are more of the departments here, is we asked for and started moving toward line item budgeting from a zero base. Instead of going back and saying, well, last year we did this, or year before we did that, and just recreating the same budget over and over and over again, not really looking at the numbers, not really thinking about why we're spending it, not really controlling our costs, we're zero-based line item budgeting this year. And we're doing with a narrative explanation so that the commission and those that are looking at, I take the position that managing the community's money is the most important task we have at hand, and take it very, very seriously. So when you get a report like this from Bill, now when we go down here next month, or when we start our first month within the new fiscal year, we can look at the line items, and if we're over budget in line items, we can work together at how do we manage the money, and how do we allocate savings, and if we're over, why are we over? So we can address some of the issues that happened during the year, like oil going up, or price of asphalt, or, well, I'm over budget. So we can actually have a management tool, and we can look at it monthly, and we can look at it quarterly. So I'm going to suggest that as we go forward toward the final budget, that everybody kind of go back and go over their numbers again, and go back, you know, I so appreciate Hugh Gallagher and our comptroller and Pat Witten, our manager, for implementing this, because it's been a hell of a lot more work for them than what we've done in the past, and for all of you. But if we start this year, and as we move forward in future budgets, we're going to tighten, and we're going to tighten, and we're going to do a great job of allocating our funds, our budgets, and our financial responsibilities. So thank you so very much.
So that I'm not blamed for this. It was James Dean who did it to begin with.
He did.
And then you brought it up in the meeting that you wanted it like this. So I had him send me his in a text format, and I just went through and changed his a little bit. So if anybody wants to blame somebody, all the rest of the department heads for this, it's James Dean. It wasn't me. I just did it because I figured I had to.
Yeah, we left.
Well,
thank you.
Any questions?
I guess now that you're... you've reminded me a couple of times that you are counting days, and you have to get a bottle of Seagram 7 Crown and get the ribbon off of it for you. Short timer.
It's still a long ways away, 630 days or 40 days. There's a program you can get that you can click in, and I click in maybe once a week.
I don't think so.
I'm going for a heart stress test Monday. We'll see if I'm even going to be here for the 6:40.
You have a heart?
Heart stress, yes, about it too.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add at least one thing. Bill has been phenomenal to work with, a breath of fresh air, and in so many ways. His professional services budget, you see Bob Morris here more frequently than not. I don't think Bill wanted to burn up $750 of his time today by going through this budget hearing, but we are making such great progress in support areas such as Austin's ordinances on zoning, Denny's ordinances on both VCTC and the nuisance ordinances that we're working on, animal control ordinances and everything. We couldn't do that without Bill's benevolence in providing portions of his funding to do that. And I think one of the best ones is I've negotiated labor contracts for all 15 years I've worked for this county. I don't know everything there is about contract negotiations. It is a very tricky area. And frequently during contract negotiations, we turn to a specialist, one of the best out there, and that's Charlie Cockrell. And again, it's Bill's help with us that helps fund Charlie on some of those trickier specialized issues. So
let me give credit too for the kids that I've had up here. Scott Walker was here for 4 or 5 months, helped. Tim Treffinger's been here. Because he's passed and been admitted to the bar, he's been coming over and doing most of the criminal, which frees me up to work on the civil. And then all these agreements that you see in the packets today, little Renee Hamasi, who's not getting paid a cent, works diligently on those. And for those of you who are interested, she may even get the Roberta Webster thing resolved here for too long, which has been hanging over my head, if any of you know what that is. But she's been working diligently on seeing if we can come to some resolution on that. So these externs, and I hope I get another one. I don't know that I will, but I've been able to supplement legal services by using externs who get law school credit for working up here. And I know every one of them have enjoyed it, and I think have been a little shocked about how quickly they're accepted into this community and actually become part of the community when they only work up here 3 or 4 months. But those kids have all done a good job.
Yeah.
And really their only compensation, I've been giving them a little bit of gas money to get back and forth to work, but other than that, the compensation they get credits in law school. So plus they get a complete view of what it is to be a district attorney in a Nevada county, unlike if they were in Washoe County, they'd probably put in the criminal division or the civil division or planning and zoning.
Mm-hmm.
Here they get to do it all. They come to the planning commission meetings, county commission meetings. They meet with Austin. I think Austin's met with them a lot. Dean, they have to put up with Dean every now and then. So it's they've all helped, and so they deserve some credit too.
And if I could point out one more thing, Mr. Maddox has also generated a new revenue source for the county. Any employee that's heard to utter anything other than the Virginia City, the Story County Water and Sewer Board, County 474 Fire Protection District, we no longer use phrases like the divide or the fire department. So,
and the problem is that if we keep using all these different names, and every time I try to find a contract, I can't find it because it's under 5 different names. So now it's the Story County Water and Sewer System and the Story County Fire Protection District Department or whatever I just said. I can't remember. But at least we've got one name for each of those departments now. Any questions?
Thanks, Bill. We're up to Justice Court.
Should I just go sit up there?
No.
Okay. I can't sit up on the bench. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm Judge Harrington from Justice Court, and I'm here to present my budget. And I love the way we are laying it out this time. That was a great suggestion at the department head meeting. A couple of things I'd like to start out before I, I'd like to say before I start out is I do get a little credit for helping out with Bill's budget because I took about a $10,000 pay cut for this position. So give credit where credit's due because I was at the top of the steps in our union, and that's the way it works. And now I'm heading a department, and I see how those salaries do grow quickly and with the steps and with the way the union's set up, and I do not have any real control over that. So I get help with that. And plus, Tim Treffinger, our deputy DA, I was the first one who met him and introduced him to you and told him to turn in his resume. So, okay, thank you. But here I am with my budget. Of course, there's the salary and the fringe benefits, which I don't, as I really have a lot of control over. The only question I had after I sent this in was there's a incentive pay that was not, I don't believe it was added in to one of my clerk's salaries, and it's an incentive for TAC, which is a technical agency controller. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's for the new warrant system that we have, so we've got to add that in, and I think that's about a 2.5%, and it'd be retroactive back to February 4th. So do you understand what I'm talking about there? It was an incentive because now we're doing our own warrants in the office. And she had to go through, both my clerks had to go through training. One has not completed it yet. And she's the one in charge. And it's called, actually it's called a terminal agency coordinator. And she gets a 2.5% extra on her pay for being trained and going through the training. And that was done before I came in. My operational expenses, going on to that, I think we've heard the postage story over and over, that item used to just include our post office box fees, but now we were told to divide our postage up. I went through the last 7 years of our postage expenses, and it comes out to about a little over $800 a year for the postage. So I added that into that, and that's 53010. Going on to supplies, I actually decreased that a little bit. We're looking at a way in the office to decrease some of our warrant requests and maybe forego a lot of the warrant notifications by getting people notified before their arraignment date comes up, so many people aren't missing their arraignment date, which in turn generates, we have to generate notices of intent telling you that we're going to send a warrant out for you, and it's a lot of paper, a lot of costs, and we're going to try to see if we can decrease those costs. You do want me to go over these line by line, right? Everybody? Okay. I just don't want to bore anybody. Telephone, I pay for my own cell phone service. I didn't see why we needed $2,000 in that. Travel, that used to include a bailiff's vehicle. We no longer have the vehicle. My clerks will be attending training in August, and I'll just need travel for per diem costs. All my travel costs are covered by the Administrative Office of the Courts. There's required training and classes that I'm going to predominantly in the first year, and that's all covered by AOC. Equipment maintenance. I don't have an actual to date on that. It was originally set up for our CourtView software costs. CourtView is the statewide case management system that we're required to have in every justice. Well, 33 out of 70 justice courts in Nevada have that system, and it's just a system we work with to manage all the cases. So training or rents, leases, we're getting rid of our postage machine since we're right next door to an office that has a postage machine. I have to put in $500 for that, and then the copier fax, which we now share with the clerk's office, I'm required to put in a $1,300 portion of that per year. Okay, I'm talking to everybody. Okay. The computer software, going on to training, review of this item reflects costs in the last 2 years for a lot of pro tem training. My current training budget is being utilized to send both clerks to the UNR Clerks Academy. And as I said, most, if not all, of my ongoing training that's required will be through the AOC. I'm going to be utilizing senior judges. I don't foresee any more required costs for pro tem training. Computer software is a new item, and that represents our annual CourtView software user fees, and that's $2,500 per station. We have two stations, and that's $5,000. And that's the statewide CourtView program that we use. Record management, I recently implemented appropriate record retention protocols in the office. They weren't using that before. We were able to empty out a huge, very large file cabinet. And since, if any of you have seen my office, it's very small, so that was a good idea. And then we go on to gas, and that's just if my clerks or I have to travel. Professional services, that's used to cover bond costs, interpreters, senior pro tem judges. There's Title VI that's going to have an impact if you read that. It used to be in courts, we could just see if the person's family or somebody could help them if they were had limited English proficiency, and now we will be required to assess that. We're not allowed to have a family member help in any way. It'd be a violation of Title VI, and so we have to get interpreter services. And they've the clerks will be trained on that this summer. I've already gone through training on it in January. So, and getting down to the furniture, that's kind of self-explanatory. I'm going to be keeping a close eye, by the way, on professional services. Under equipment administration, I have, it's been recommended that I get new computers. I consulted with our IT department. Our computers have expired warranties. We're upgrading to Windows from XP to 7. Those costs I would like to take from my special fund. I have a special fund. There's about, there's over $30,000, and that, those are the funds that come from all the, a portion of the administrative costs that are taken from all the administrative assessments from fees that people pay when they get tickets, all that. So I'm asking that that be taken out of that fund. And the conflict attorney, things like that, I really don't have any, that's kind of happens. I'm putting $5,000 out there for it. I hope I won't go over that. We're going over our professional fees that were estimated, going back to professional fees, we're over that right now. That was estimated for 2013, but I don't see a problem with where the conflict attorney fund is set up right now for $5,000. Is there, are there any questions? Did I chase one commissioner away? Is he okay? Does anybody have... I hope I didn't talk too fast, or
no. Okay. You did a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looks like I definitely need some new computers in there.
Yes, I use the Excel program a lot, and we use CourtView, and it bogs down the computers. And we are moving into a different CourtView program called JWorks, and that'll tax the computers even more. But I do have that special fund, and that would help if I just took it out of there.
I'm kind of guessing if your machines are that old, your current copy of Microsoft Office is probably about a...
Yeah. We have to update all of that.
Way, many, many additions behind. Yeah. You know.
And before I forget, Mr. Maddox brought up the library issue. And I have been working on a, developing a self-help, center. Some of the courts around the state are developing those, and that ties in with a library because it gives people another place to go to research laws, look at the NRSs, access information about tenant landlord issues. But the only thing I would add to that is I believe we need something in this part of the county, and we need something in the other part of the county too. Because having a library up here is great, but I think the people that are about an hour away need a library there too, and I'd be happy to see what I could do to help affect that. Okay? Anything else? No hard questions.
What is that contract for this new court view thing? Have you priced that out?
Okay. The court view for the J-Works, they said there won't be any appreciable user fee increase. The state has almost $900,000 set aside for that right now that came from administrative fees that were collected, and it's going to cost a little over $1 million to start that. And it actually won't come into full usage for about 3 or 4 years. There's these plugins, they call it, for CourtView. And I went to a meeting about this on Friday. If we enter into this, if the state enters into this contract, the plugins will be free of charge, and our offices will get to start using those within a few months. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Just
your court fund, special fund.
Oh, my special fund. Yeah, that's I. Okay, and?
Fees the fees you've collected so far, you've got a budget for $5,000, yet we've got an operating supplies that we have an expenditure of $15,000. Understanding that you've got.
Yeah, the equipment cost.
The fund balance. I was just wondering what the expenditures would be for.
Out of the special court fund? Well, I'm asking for that computer equipment that I have to purchase. That's going to be around, what, $5,500?
That's not your justice court one.
The special fund, the 187 fund?
Right, please.
Okay. What I'm looking at, when I look at that special fund, I was looking at the 2013 budget and the estimated, and they put down $15,000. I'm estimating right now that I know I'm going to use $5,500 of it.
Now, you have $5,500 in your 113 account.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that we can take that, we can use the special fund for those computers instead of taking it out of
your budget to put it back?
Yes, because the 187 fund can be used for computer equipment, and it's something that doesn't happen too often, but I think that in light of the budget constraints, that it's a good use of that money. It doesn't build up really fast, but I think it's appropriate. Does that answer your question?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Not a problem. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have information. We have communications.
Oh, excuse me.
Mr. Ballard.
Where are we going?
He's our 911 guy. He needs everything he's asking.
Okay. I guess I'll start first by talking about my department. Communication center is 24/7, 365, 7 day a week operation. Like the fire department, sheriff's department, we're always there. Generally, when someone calls for help, they need help, they talk to the dispatcher first. That's usually your first line of defense there for everyone. It's staffed right now with 6 full-time employees that are dispatchers and myself. And again, like I said, we're 24/7. So we always have to basically have people around answering phones. We try to get them answered right away and get help when needed. As far as staffing, under the advisement of Mr. Gallagher, overtime is always an issue in my office. You can't help it when you have that many people. We're looking at taking a part-time position to help alleviate some of these overtime hours. If someone wants to take leave, I got to pay someone to cover it. So this way we're looking at trying to use a part-time person at a lower wage to try to cut down on that. Some of the other things here, I guess I can go down the line. Do you want me to go down the line by line item, or do you want me to hit on the highs and lows of some things in here? I can do either. Looking at the office supplies, I really did look at things, what we spent last year, what we have right now, and we actually dropped that a couple $100. If we're going to go down to $1,000, I think we'll be fine. My telephone funding, I underfunded that last year considerably. I started looking at the bills that AT&T was submitting to me. I'm paying probably close to $500 a month for all my admin lines and what have you. So I opted to up that up by $3,000. Travel, we took that out of there completely. We have no travel plans. The equipment maintenance, we looked at that again as well. Mr. Gallagher and I looked at everything, and we actually cut that down by a couple $1,000s. We looked at what we spent last year and what we have and what we can do this year, and we're pretty comfortable with that. Printing supplies, we haven't used that for a while. We eliminated that completely.
Excuse me. I have here in your report that there's a $6,000 increase to meet the yearly maintenance.
Yeah, and let me explain that to you, too, where you got that. I made a typo on that. I actually have the revision on that. I'll have that submitted tomorrow on there. Actually, on that, there was no decrease on that.
There was no increase.
Oh, no increase. I'm sorry, yeah.
For equipment, you're budgeting $10,000?
Yeah, I'm budgeting $10,000. I revised this thing about 100 times, and I think I got some of my wires crossed.
And there's a $4,000 change from the previous fiscal year, so I assume that was $14,000 last year?
Last year actually was $12,000. That was another one of my that was one of my typos I made last year. So it was $12,000. I went from $12,000 to $10,000. And I said that will be revised and back in tomorrow, actually. I caught that too. I'm sorry.
I said that's in the right direction.
Yeah, I just caught that right afterwards too. The operating expenses, which we primarily use for things like cleaning supplies and whatnot, we're okay there. We're going to stick with the $600 and get through the year. I moved the repairs into the equipment maintenance, and I'll explain to that when we get there. With the rents, leases, and purchases, we've looked that over. That's primarily the leases is for the mountaintop repeater sites. I have to pay the state to be up on Como, and I also pay for up on Pond Peak, and, of course, my Xerox machine and things like that. The communications, I'm going to leave that fund also at $2,000. That fund is primarily used for, it's mostly for my headsets and things like that in dispatch. We wear out our headsets quite a bit. The cables break. There's just a lot of maintenance on these things to keep those up and running. And that's where we pay for to fix those types of things. I do have a handheld radio, and I haven't had to ever fix that. So it's primarily always spent on the consoles, on fixing the maintenance on the headsets and things like that, the hand mics, things like that. My training has actually gone up $500, and what we've done with that during the last few years, we've been offered training through PoolPack. They'll pay for our emergency medical dispatching classes, which saves us quite a bit of money. It allows our dispatchers to go to class on PoolPack's dime, which is usually about $350 to $500 a class, plus your travel and what have you there. So we've been able to use that. We've been able to utilize training through the fire department. We've been able to get our dispatchers, the ones that, well, basically back up here on that, Judge Harrington mentioned something about the tax, the incentive pay for a TAC. That's a terminal agency coordinator, and that's something that the state will provide training for. The terminal agency coordinators are really kind of worth their weight in gold. When Pat can tell you that, Jerry can tell you that, Jim Miller can tell you that, he's here. They keep you out of trouble. They basically go through and make sure your warrant entries are correct. They make sure everything is verified. They make sure that you meet all those federal and state mandates and compliances and keep you in order, and that's what that is. They also offer free training to the dispatchers, and I do send my dispatchers to that as well, just to kind of get their eyes open. The additional little money there, the $500 increase, as I mentioned earlier today in the staff report, we were awarded some grants, and we were able to obtain some software for our computer-aided dispatching. I'm going to go to a class in October up the state line from the software vendors to learn how to use some of this stuff. There's a lot of changes in it, and I'm going to need to go to this course to find out what how to manage this stuff. The building maintenance, we're going to go ahead and keep that at $2,000. I reside, my office is in the detention facility. I'm down there in Sheriff Antonoro's office. We're in and out of there. We use the building, too, so I put that in there to help pay our way if we break something. Last year, we used it to chain off the, or basically to build some security, enhance some security around there, put a gate along the side, and it's just nice to have there in case the carpet or something wears out or, you know, there's a plumbing problem, something that we need to repair. The capital outlay. Last year, we were budgeted for $40,000. This year, we're looking at $6,000. What that is there was some funding that was used in the past, $25,000 that was NDF money. I'm not exactly sure. I believe what it was we used it part of their budget for their services. We use that money for communications things, to enhance things for the good of the county. We purchased mobile radios. We purchased all the repeaters up on the mountaintops. We've used that money in the past to do lots of things. That money is not there this year. The additional piece of that money last year was used down in Tri. Mr. Gallagher and I discussed in depth. We've had several discussions about asset protection, and we put some security intrusion alarm system type stuff down there on that building to protect it. This year, the $6,000 that we have in there is again going to be dedicated to doing some more asset protection. We're going to upgrade some of our security systems for some of our buildings. We're kind of looking at them each year and trying to prioritize which ones need to be addressed, and we'll go ahead and enhance them and upgrade them, and that's what that's going to be used for this year. My computer equipment. Last year, I was budgeted for $1,600. This year, I'm looking at $4,800. The reason I'm looking at doing that is the equipment we have in dispatch was purchased under a grant probably in 2004. Is that sound about right? 2003. It's old equipment. It still runs. It's been maintained. But the printers that we have, which are probably the heaviest used printers in the county, are not doing that well anymore. They're getting old. They're wearing out. There's two dispatch centers in there, two dispatch consoles in my center, and that's what these printers are for. They're very heavy used printers, and they're just nonstop. They run 24/7, and they're just constantly printing. So that'll be replacing those. That's just the beginning of some equipment that's starting to wear itself out. Like I said, the equipment that I was told was purchased in 2003, a lot of it is just, it's living its life. It's working, but these are the first pieces to start to wear out. A little luck, we can keep it going for a while longer before we have to mess with it. The last line is my 911 service, the $27,000. What this covers is it covers the 911 system we have. It covers the service that we have on it. It pays for our numbers, the contract, the maintenance. It pretty much pays for your whole entire 911 system here in the county. It's
You're paying AT&T that?
I pay AT&T that, yeah. It's also money, and this is used to pay for our MOSIM, out of $27,000. I also pay for our mass emergency notification system. It's called Global Connect. That's where we're able to send out, you know, hundreds of calls to residents at one time. We can basically pick the whole county and notify the whole entire county of an emergency in a matter of minutes. And that comes out of that fund as well.
So is that billed as a telephone fee?
It's a separate, it comes out of the 911 service is how I have it in there. But no, it comes, it's like, it's probably about $400 or $500 out of that is what that comes out of, that fee in there. But it's not, it doesn't come, I'm not paying AT&T, no, I'm paying a company called Global Connect. I think that's all I have, if anybody has any questions.
Mr. Chairman, there was some comments made this morning about the industrial complex out there at PRI. And although we have, we've tried to do some things out there previously, the building is still not secure. Fire chief informed us this morning there are still items missing out of his one area. And I think between now and the final, I'd like to get with Dave and at least find some solution to this to secure that building, because somebody once told me there's a tremendous amount of traffic in there too.
Oh yeah,
and it is not manned at this point. So I'd like to at least give Dave the opportunity to go out there and search for something that's going to secure that building.
How are they getting into it?
Yeah, that we don't know.
You don't see any signs of breaking, and so somebody's got a or clicking it. Huh?
Unlikely.
What kind of items are missing?
You know, I think it's smaller items. I think it's things like could be tools. What have you had missing out of there?
We've got tools, computer equipment. We've actually had people go in there late at night and make long-distance phone calls to the point that we've now removed all of our telephones and we locked them at the desk door. Wow. We've had weird things disappear out of the kitchen, kitchen utensils, plates. All of our heating utensils that were there for the staff are all gone. Toolboxes are gone, battery chargers. You name it, it's just little stuff walking out the door, and there's no security on that side. You know, of course, it's always locked, but it's a combination lock, and I don't know if they're the best locks possible. I don't know.
I just understand.
Yeah, our stuff on my side. No, I'm just kidding.
You don't have any funds to go.
Sounds like an in-house job to me.
Thank you.
How long has this been? I mean, is this over a period of time, this stuff, or all at once?
No, it's over a period of time. The guys will go out and do, we have complete inventories in the building, and they'll go out and do inventories in the building about once a month as a requirement. They'll just find weird things gone. But the one that really perplexes me is somebody coming in using our phones to make long-distance phone calls at 2 in the morning that, fortunately, they're gone for now.
And we've done all of the dusting for prints and testing for DNA.
We've turned everything over to the sheriff's office for investigation.
Call those phone numbers to find out who it is.
They're not the numbers that you would want me to check on. But they're rather expensive numbers.
Yeah, okay, well, that's all here. IT.
Real quickly, to segue from our communications director and tell you the importance of TAC, I'll tell you a very brief story. Sheriffs and chiefs, probably in 1999, 2000, there was a rather large metropolitan police chief from down in southern Nevada, who thought he could access anything in the National Criminal Information Justice System, NC, just whatever that acronym is. Thought he could access it anytime he wanted to use it any way he wanted to, despite the fact that that's a national database with very sensitive information in there controlled by the FBI. And after repeated warnings from both his TAC and the state auditors to come in to audit compliance for both our Justice Court and Dave's office, Chief Hoover at the time, I believe, was told simply, he was received a call from the FBI that said, I have my finger on the switch. Do you want information or do you not need information on this stuff? So that's how important the compliance side of the house is with these guys. They set the rules, they give the information, and you follow the rules. So I echo everything Dave said. Moving on to IT, when we set up the budgets and started the process in early January, it was probably in early to mid-February, that we targeted this date for our tentative budget. At a full department head meeting, I explained very eloquently that only the excuse of death would allow you not to be here today to explain your budgets to the commission and the public. I'm obviously not the IT director, and I don't know anything about network programming, but I can tell you that he pleaded this case rather eloquently when he came back and said, I have non-refundable family spring break tickets down to Disneyland with reservations, extensive reservations, and my wife would kill me if I'm not there. So that broached the subject of death. So here I am to try to explain an IT budget that I really don't know that much about. But we're asking, James is asking, in essence, for an increase of just slightly over 10% in the budget. There are a number of factors that he provided in his write-up to you that Commissioner Gilman has previously stated as a good example. So I'm going to attempt to follow along on this budget. We are doing a small pay grade adjustment. IT staff are very competitive. This is one of those, again, that if I would argue vociferously, if someone were to say, well, the IT director in this county or this city or this gets that, we do comparative salary surveys, but we also, in this case specifically, we have to frequently compare ourselves outside to the private sector. Very honestly, I stole James Dean about 6 years ago from ADS. He was that good. So we're making a small adjustment there. We've discussed with the commissioners before internalizing and growing our department and the changing needs and what that really has precipitated. We have with the remote operation now, remote of our jail site on C Street, housing both the sheriff and the DA. That has increased our radio equipment. We have a quad county microwave system that we're working through all four counties to be able to exchange data and essentially move our operations anywhere in those four counties, including dispatch down the road on an emergency basis if necessary. And we're also, our goal this next year is to internalize more and more of those processes that our experiences have told us that outsourcing isn't always the best solution. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. In the case of web hosting and web application, it's probably not. It's very cumbersome to load up some of the reports and information we wish to put on our website so that we can more and more provide automatic responses to some of the requests for documentation. Our web structure currently is just not set to do that. So we're working with an outside vendor to hopefully be able to facilitate a small change in web structure, not radical. We're not completely redoing the website, but that will allow us then to internally host and to post up documents. Benefits, as you know, including PERS, have gone up. We've talked about those. As individual line items to kind of run through, there really are no significant changes in office supplies. Telephone is up for the third employee that we have previously. This will be an IT Tech 2. This will really need to be able to track these guys down by cell phone, and we demand that on-call status, and we generally pay for the cell phone if the employee requests. Travel is staying the same as before. Dues and subscriptions unchanged. Equipment maintenance at $2,500 is primarily for repairs on out-of-warranty equipment. And I do want to segue on that. You know, and if you debate public comment before that's been made on individual budgets, we do try to stretch the life out of every one of our computers that we possibly can. But I want everybody to kind of keep in mind that unlike our homes where my PC may be on for 2 hours tonight or may not even be on, these machines are on 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, with constant activity, out talking to, you know, the various servers and email exchanges that we have. So that you know, equipment maintenance at $2,500 is for those items that still have life but are out of warranty. Utilities, and again, as our controller has stated so well, we're really beginning to try to move toward, instead of having a central budget where everything comes out of, if James is a tenant and the primary tenant with all kinds of power-hungry equipment in one of the fire department buildings, it's not really fair to charge the fire department for utilities in that particular building. So you see a new line item for utilities in there. Operating supplies are unchanged. Repairs are again in there, and these are meant to be real estate repairs to that particular facility. If an air conditioning unit goes out or heating, again, we have to keep, with all the servers that we have housed there, we definitely have to keep proper atmospheric control there. Rents, lease, and purchases are just primarily his copier. The communications line item substantially increased, and that is in anticipation of hosting our own website. As I said, that means if we're going to host our website, we've got to be able to no longer pay an outside vendor even more than this. You'll see those savings in the next year's budget because we can't do it July 1st. We're not prepared to do that. But we need to be able to beef up our bandwidth, if you will, into our servers. So he's been able to negotiate a deal. We typically have our bandwidth through AT&T. We acquired, you know, what's called a 10 meg up and down, and saved over 80% of what AT&T was charging us in this case. So training is unchanged. Auto maintenance is unchanged. This is probably our most aged vehicle in the entire fleet. It's kind of frightening to ride in it sometimes, but we held the line. This thing was totaled from a snow shed fall off the north side of this property years ago. It used to be our assessor's Jeep wagon, and we're still eking life out of that. Computer software really primarily is a shift. Our controller again suggested that software is not software is really not capital outlay necessarily, and we definitely should specifically itemize and better account for the software portions versus the hardware. And James did provide, I think, a great breakdown. These are big ticket items that we still do provide countywide. Hosting our own Exchange server, the licensing alone through Microsoft for the entire county is $10,000 a year. That's what you get when you want to play with Microsoft. The Symantec antivirus, they're on all of our machines for safety and security. $3,500 a year countywide, and then James pays specifically out of this budget. Well, each specialized office has components for the AS400 to ADS for what they may need the AS400 to do. This is backbone support that we pay to ADS. Well, actually, this is to IBM, excuse me, for the server that houses the AS400. Professional services, no gas and diesel unchanged. The vehicle's got fresh tires on there, so we reduced tires. Professional services, this is unchanged and this is invaluable. If we can hearken back particularly to Commissioner McBride and I believe Commissioner Gilman for a little while where we changed our server and could not talk with AOL, that ultimately took a very high-tech specialist on contract. It cost us probably about $2,000, as I recall, to have Garrett fix it. So this is where we occasionally lean on things that are outside the realm of even somebody like James. Mapping, Jana explained GIS services, I think, extremely well. $55,000 to Douglas County for our overall GIS, of which Jana picks up $40,000, the lion's share out of her tech fund. It is so integral with IT that James provides for $5,000 in his budget, with again another $2,500 each coming out of Mike's water and sewer, and $5,000 coming out of planning, the heavy users. Capital outlay, James says, is unchanged, but he'd really like to see a future vehicle purchase go here. In computer equipment, we did pare back significantly. We asked him to please delay one more year putting in one additional server, so we're refurbing one of our older servers that used to house our CAD system in dispatch. So that is what we're going to go up with when we house the new website. And that is IT. And if you have any questions, I promise I'll get you answers when he's back from Disneyland.
I have an exploratory build-up. We had discussed it one time, and I'm not sure I see it here in the budget. We know we have a public responsibility for posting public documents to the website. And we know we have a responsibility ahead of us. I know we are implementing, so we have to do that. Is James going to undertake that a part of this budget this year? Do we have a plan in place to do that?
With the internalization of Tim Shropshire, that answer is absolutely yes. We've already begun discussions with RKPR that is helping us with another company called Brand Labs, that they'll basically, Commissioner Gilman, design a pass-through website that'll look different, but then it'll tie directly to ours and facilitate much easier postings of vouchers and the types of things that are frequently requested as part of the public record. So yes is the answer. Any other IT techie type questions? Okay. Thank you.
Well, moving right along here. Okay. What's your story?
My story is long, Mr. Chairman. Comptroller's office is tasked with weekly submittals of payroll and voucher requests, usually every other week. We take each of these applications and audit them for completeness and proper accounting classification. In some cases on the payroll, we actually calculate the payroll per individual. Once this process is completed, a posting is made to the general ledger, which culminates into unidentified financial statements at the end of the month, and also budgeted statements, which are then addressed either monthly or quarterly. In addition, all correspondence and reporting to the various state and federal agencies are accomplished through this office. We accomplish these tasks through one full-time equivalent, which is myself, and a 35-hour senior administrative assistant. It's pretty busy in that office. There's a lot of other things that are ancillary on a day-to-day basis that we pretty much conclude. And now with the budget process being as it is, it's somewhat of another added attraction. Salaries are up about $5,000, pretty much including the 2% cost of living increase for both employees. This also affects the longevity percentage, which affects our 22-hour senior administrative assistant. First things are at least, again, a mandatory increase as of July 1st. And there will be some small increase in the health insurance we predict, which will bring the fringe benefits to about 11,000. So salary and benefits account for about 11,000 of my increase, of which my total department is 10. But I do want to go through some of the other items, such as travel. Travel I have as $2,000. This is travel that is, we think, necessary for PoolPAC Board, which is our governing body, which gives us our umbrella for insurance and has several conferences a year. Certified Financial Officers Association, which is a Nevada-based Financial Officers Association, which we travel to, or I travel to, not every year. I try and stay away from Southern Nevada if it's there, but if it's locally here, I do that. And in addition, it's called the Government Financial Officers Association, These are conventions that are usually held in June. I will be going to one in San Francisco this year. I do not go to those if they're outside the West Coast or on the East Coast. Just plan about that. The updates there are great because a lot of the updates concerning governmental standards, governmental accounting are addressed, along with a lot of vendors that we may consider in the future. And there's just every gamut you can think of is there, but we've got some fairly good feedback on. Rents and leases, again, we've got the postage, and we've also got the lease payment from the clerk treasurer. Training, I'm going to leave, I'm going to increase it by $500 to $1,500, and that may be for some additional training, as the commission may warrant, either for the budgetary process, which they may want me to go to school, or some other things that may be in their booklet. Professional services, our contracts that we have with outside auditors, which we may use to produce things such as waste management compliance reports, and also trying to check the fees that we receive from Sierra Pacific and AT&T, and most important on those two is whether or not we're getting the money at all. As you know, we have a particular problem with zip codes. Everybody is on a zip code. We've had problems with Department of Taxation because the money collected, for example, in the industrial park or the Highlands seems to have flirted down into Washoe County, all because of the zip code. So what we're going to do is we're going to do an audit of Sierra Pacific and AT&T to make sure that those residences within our county, but in their zip code, get coded to the proper place. And then the audit and budget, this is primarily our outside auditor who does our completed audit, audit financial statements, and this is a charge that's going to be there all the time, and we don't anticipate any increases. However, you never know. It all depends on their paperwork. It all depends on their list of transactions. It depends upon their field work to see where it is. But for the most part, I think it's it is round. It was anywhere between the $35,000 to $37,000 range. I'm looking at $45,000 in case we need to do another audit. So, with that, that's pretty much my budget.
Questions or comments?
I have nothing.
I'm good.
Just a big thank you for all the work on this budget at this point. Thank you much. A lot of hours in every department.
I believe it. Okay, who's up next?
We have emergency management.
Emergency management.
Yeah.
Wait for this all day.
Why?
I was hoping you'd say a little bit louder because I'm a little bit dozing there. I'm a commissioner, and commissioners appreciate the opportunity to provide you with a little bit of overview about emergency management. And we're kind of the department that you really don't hear much from, and that we're kind of off to the side. But we produce quite a bit of product on behalf of the county. From an overview standpoint, our office is located in the training building next to the fire department in a little office space, which was originally built into that office or that facility for purposes of the office for the volunteer fire department. And it actually works quite functional for us and works quite well because it's right there, that training building, which provides us with an emergency coordination center as well. However, what we are involved in is the strategic planning, in one respect, the strategic planning of man-made and natural disasters and major incidents that occur within our county. And when I say the strategic planning, it not only involves just identifying and designing a plan as to how the county will progress through the mitigation of any major incident, but the other aspect is it has an operational standpoint to it, which is that of operating an emergency coordination center, as we call it, which then provides assistance to whether it be the sheriff's department or the fire department or public works or any other aspect of the county that would need the assistance of opening a coordination center to provide access to getting other resources for the county, dealing with things like Red Cross, evacuations, sheltering of individuals, this sort of thing. So as part of that, we participate in a number of meetings on a regular basis as appointees both on a state level and as on a county level. And when I say we, it encompasses two individuals essentially. Me, which is a less than part-time position, and probably one of the best deals that you get in the county, and the other half is the one who probably works the hardest, and that's Sherry Nevin. Sherry has been assisting me as a full-time person with me for several years now, and now is because she is so sharp with the grants management that she is now taking over those duties that Holly had, and overseeing the grants in general with the county. You'll see as she progresses into that aspect, then there's only a half-time portion that she'll be providing with emergency management, and a half-time portion that she'll be providing to grants management. I think you'll find in the future that you'll be very happy with the quality of the grants management that that she provides the county with. So when we are in a position to have to deal with various emergency situations in the county, we attend, as I mentioned earlier, various aspects. For instance, I participate in what's called the Emergency Managers Coordinating Council, which is a state-appointed council of about 12 to 13 members, which provides input to the state of Nevada Emergency Management Department on things relating to the counties. My goal has always been, in my years of involvement with this function, is that the little counties out there, whether it's the Stories or Esmeraldas or Eurekas, all us little guys, if you will, together, don't always have a very good voice with the state level of government in the emergency management aspects. When you've got the Las Vegases and the Clark Counties and the Washoes having this major voice and being observed as being the primary major concerns within the state. So we've accomplished that. We have a good voice within state government along that line. I also sit on the state Emergency Planning Council for earthquakes, as well as the Hazard Mitigation Planning Committee. Sherry attends the State Citizen Corps Council meetings, and participate in various workshops. The most current one is the public warning workshop, as I mentioned to you earlier today, that is being that was provided for by FEMA or Homeland Security. Another one is the Schools Emergency Response Planning Project that we participated in, or known as SPARTAN. And so we're always involved in these things and looking at them not only from a standpoint of how can we provide input on a state level, but also how can we benefit as a county from the resources that those meetings and those organizations provide us with that we can take out of that and bring back to our county. We participate in things like National Preparedness Month and prepare public release information. We have public outreach aspects that we provide planning and preparation documentation for our citizenry. And we oversee what is called the Local Emergency Planning Committee, which we have a tremendous reputation for, I'm proud to say, because we have the largest participation of public, or excuse me, of private industry partners within our organization. Even Clark County cannot boast of the kind of public participation that we have from our private industry partners, the Walmarts, the food banks, the Red Cross. They all come here and attend our meetings. Maybe it's because they like to get out of Reno for the day or something, but they are very participative with us. We have, last year we put in a seismograph here in Virginia City up on the Divide, and I received word yesterday that they want to put in a second seismograph in Virginia City because it's used to triangulate all these swarms that have occurred. So we are constantly planning and preparing for natural and man-made disasters and doing various aspects relating to major emergencies. From our budgetary standpoint, we have been for many years and try to operate as low as possible because we are able to obtain a number of grants over the years, and so we obtain a lot of, or not a lot, but a good portion of our operating dollars out of both state and federal grant processes. As it relates to our line items through the budget, we have requested some update for the standard salary and benefits type thing budget request. From an office supply standpoint, we're not looking to make any changes. We're fortunate there from the office supply standpoint that we have one particular grant that we are able to get a few dollars from that actually we're able to utilize a good portion of that for our just general daily operating aspects. Our telephones, for example, actually what you received says $3,600, and we just as of this morning, actually realized that we could probably drop that down to about $2,800 because I'm going to convert the county cell phone over to my personal account, and since instead of carrying two cell phones, and so that'll actually save the dollars to the county somewhat. From a travel standpoint, we do some degree of travel around the state primarily. We have never done, I don't think that I can remember any national type of travel. But most of our travel is able to be reimbursed by state or through federal grants through the State Emergency Management Department. So we've only asked for a minimum of $500 to help in case we have some particular travel that we need to accomplish. Dues and subscriptions, we've not asked for any increase in that. We feel that it provides us with sufficient dollars that we need for accomplishing that. Printing, we would really like to be able to increase some printing expenses. However, we've asked, we've not progressed to going further than the immediate 500. A number of years ago, we produced, with the assistance of a state grant, a very nice, large format, full color, slick paper brochure that we produced on a statewide basis in participating with that preparedness and planning process that is specific to each of the counties and specific to Story counties. And along with that, in that particular brochure, we would like to get that reprinted at some point, but one of the things that we have to produce or redo in there is the letter to the citizenry from our county commissioners, now that we have a new set of county commissioners. That we can do virtually at no charge because I have the skills software in my personal venue that I'm able to make those changes to the overall thing and then take them to a printer and have them printed. So we'll be looking at that. Our dues and subscriptions are no changes from the others because there's no upage in those things that we participate in from a dues or prescription standpoint. Our operating supplies, as I mentioned, to a great degree, we're able to obtain those through some grant work. So we've only felt that we needed to increase it by a small amount of about $500 due to normal increases in costs. One of the things is we normally have in our office two computers. We're looking at one of them. The one I normally use is needs to be replaced because the software on it is no longer functional with the new servers that we've had to go to. So I do all of my email functions and so forth through my own personal computer at home, actually, from my home. Rent, lease, purchase, $400. There's really no change in that because there's not been any reason to increase it at all. The training, we've left at $2,000 because there are various and sundry things that we like to be able to increase some of our skills and knowledge that would give us the ability to participate in some of those kinds of things. From an auto maintenance standpoint and gas and diesel, we have one vehicle which actually belongs to the fire department, but which had been assigned to me for actually many years now. And as part of the duty and responsibility for assisting the public works section in their maintenance section, then we feel that it's important that we provide our own way in that respect. So we have $800 listed into auto maintenance and $800 for fuel and so forth. That vehicle oftentimes may take me to travel to various events and so forth. One of the other things that I do, which is technically actually not part of the job, but it is functionally part of the functions, is that I do the vast majority of the investigations for the fire department on fire situations, and I respond to back up Chief Hames and assist him in many cases, anything from pulling hose off the back of an engine to being a safety officer or getting Gary a soda pop, I guess, you know. But we work very closely together, Gary and I have for years and years, we interchange very often. And I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that Chief Hames and I essentially trade. We're 20 a week on and a week off. So if we act as the county's duty chief representative. So actually this week is my week. So for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I will respond to any major incident to assist. And the next week it'll be Gary's turn. And so it gives Chief Hames actually a little bit of leeway so he doesn't have to be right on top of the needle every minute of the day, 24 hours, 7 days a week. So our total budget request is $139,082. That will actually be reduced by about $1,000. So now one of the things that we provided an option in with this grant, with this budget, is that a portion of Sherry's salary might be transferred over to the admin section where Holly was, and now that she's doing that grant type of thing. Doesn't have to be, but that's an option if it works out to function that way, or you feel that it would work that way. If that were the case, it would actually reduce the overall budget for us to the neighborhood of $95,000. For actual emergency management. So I think that's generally an overview and should cover most of the things. If you have particular questions that I might be able to address for you.
Commissioners, if I could add, relative to the option that has been suggested, the Comptroller and I and Jesse talked about it. There probably is an appropriate number that can be transferred. I would tell you 50% is not the correct number. When Holly had grants, the job constituted about 20% of her overall workload. So it would be my suggestion, like others, that for the next year, through Sherry's tracking, that we take a look at how much time really is being spent on non-emergency management-related grants, not CERPs, not United We Stand, and those many great grants that this group gets us. But to take a look at the other portions of grant management, and then we can take a look. In the meantime, there is no effect to the bottom line of the general fund. It's just simply from which pocket of the general fund should this one be allocated.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the next item there, I believe, is the mitigation fund, and I can address that really quickly here for you, and then we'd be through with that section. The hazard mitigation fund is something that is technically, I think, under the admin, but many years ago we were able to, and we were capable of doing so, we were able to transfer $100,000 into a disaster mitigation fund. So in the event something major happened, we had a bank account of $100,000 to work with. All we're looking at here is that recently, you know, we had the potential flooding incidents, and we had to expend about $5,000 for sandbags and sand. What we're looking at is merely a reimbursal from the general fund to the mitigation fund of that $5,000 to maintain it at the $100,000 level.
I remember it well. I was sitting in the same little room with you.
That's right.
Every weekend.
Any questions on that aspect regarding the mitigation, disaster mitigation fund or anything?
Nothing.
Okay. Thank you all.
Okay.
Hold on, Ryan.
Really, your word?
Let's recess 10 minutes or so, and I know I need it.